Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's Ken Shepherd. Show's called Making Money in Real Estate When You Have No Money. And we're finding that it's a really interesting area. A lot of people really like what we're doing. We have some wonderful guests coming up in the next week or so. An investor friend of mine named Jeremy Roll. Very, very smart guy. Does a lot of investing. He's going to talk about it from the investor standpoint. And we have a guy coming in on Monday to talk about wealth management. And that'll be really exciting because he knows all kinds of techniques for tax savings legally. And we have another guy I'm trying to get Tuesday who's a very, very big mortgage guy and deals with the FDIC and all kinds of banks and short sales and REOs and stuff like that. And hopefully he's going to be available Tuesday. And then I have Wednesday, I have Ross Hamilton coming on, who's the CEO of Connected Investors, and that'll be just fantastic. So let me, and then we have other guests scheduled that are coming on. We're going to be doing a lot more interviews with some very exciting people. We're going to try and get somebody from the FDIC and some people from large banks and all kinds of stuff to help you guys the best we can. So you always have to tell us what you need, because the more you tell us what you need, the more we can do to help you. Okay. So let's get the disclaimer out of the way. This show is intended for only the listeners. All investment information contained in the show has been secured from sources. Creative Flips Inc. and Ken Shepherd believes are reliable, but we make no representations or warranties expressed or implied as to the accuracy of the information. The views, opinions, conclusions, and other information expressed in the show are not the responsibility of Creative Flips Inc. or Ken Shepherd in any manner. Creative Flips Inc. and Ken Shepherd accepts no liability for the content of the show or for the consequences of any actions taken on the basis of the information provided in the show. Creative Flips Inc. and Ken Shepherd recommends that you consult with a financial advisor, attorney, accountant, and any other professional that can help you to understand and assess the risks associated with any investment opportunity. Okay, the call-in number for the show is 347-989-1329. The website that we use is www.creativeflips.webs.com. You can look at the accomplishments and resume tabs there. Our 24-hour telephone number is 310-358-7087, and our 24-hour email is fci@pacbell.net. My cell phone, 9 to 5 California time, is 818-585-9706. Twitter feed, @KenShepherd. Facebook feed, Facebook/KenShepherd, Facebook/CreativeFlipsInc. I've been doing this for about 30 years. We have about $500 million in process and more all the time, and did a soft proof of funds recently for up to $500 million, plus we have $26 million we've just recently closed. No charge for anything on the show. All the archives are free. We're trying to help people grow. Always use your strengths to cover your weaknesses. Find 140,000 or more investors at no charge. Go to KenReRadio.com to sign up, and you can get involved with us that way and meet a lot of people who are doing all the same things you are. And let's see else. We also have a class Tuesdays and Thursdays mastermind, up to 20 people in the room. It's $20 a person if you're interested, per class. If you're interested in coming, please send an email to kenshepard51@yahoo.com. So that kind of covers all our bookkeeping stuff. And the subject today is due diligence after you have an offer accepted. Okay, so basically what we're talking about here is when you buy a piece of property and you plan to hold on to that property, you have got to have the ability to know what you bought. And so unless you're a very sophisticated investor and you're buying without any contingencies at all. And contingencies are basically just a fancy word for things that you have the ability to use as reasons why you're not buying something. So if I say a deal is contingent upon my inspection of the property and I don't approve the inspection, that's an out. Okay? If I say the deal is contingent upon my approval of the books and records of a deal, if it's an income producing property and I don't like the books and records, or they're not as, or I don't feel they're as was presented to me initially by whoever's selling the asset, then that's an out. Okay, so there's lots of ways you can get released from transactions without having any liability. Now, of course, I wanted to tell you, you always want to work with an attorney and a CPA and all those kind of folks around you. Build your team like we keep talking about. But at the end of the day, the most important thing to remember is you do have contingencies that you can use. And if you choose not to buy with contingencies, you might get a better price, but it's also you're taking more risk. So everything is tied to risk and reward. When you buy at the trustee sale, you don't get any contingencies. You don't even get a title policy. I understand that's changed. And you're taking a lot of risk. But, of course, again, you're getting the reward in the form of the discount. So everything is risk and reward. Just like when you go to a bank and you get 2% on your money, if you're that lucky to get that, versus putting it into real estate, it's more risky, but you have a much better chance of return. So, or a much better chance of getting a better return, I should say, for sure, because you have a fixed return at a bank and you have a, who knows what your return is going to be in real estate. Maybe it's fixed, maybe it's just, you know, depending on the market. So, due diligence is all about research. It's all about making sure that you know what you're getting into, and that means checking anything and everything you can think of. And some of the things you want to think of, we're going to talk residential first, and then we'll talk commercial. When you're buying residential property, one of the things you want to know is, who are your neighbors? And are there any people in that neighborhood that have any issues with problems with the law? Have they ever been in jail? Are they possible doing things to children they shouldn't be doing? You know, stuff like that. All of that stuff, or a lot of that stuff, I think you can now find out online. And there's also this thing in California, and I don't know if it's national. I think it might be called Megan's Law, which allows you to find out if there's child predators around where you live. And I think that's very important to know if you have children or if you're planning to rent that house or live in that house or whatever, you know, what's going on as best you can find out. Also, are there any plans for any railroads, any bus stations, any freeways, any of that stuff? And you can find that out all at the planning office. Are there any plans for anybody to do any major demolition in the neighborhood and of their house and turn it into some kind of a much larger house than the normal neighborhood house? And might it be a little noisy for a while? That's not a big one, really, but it's something to consider. Are you close to shopping? Are you close to all the things that people want? Are you on the path of development? Are you in an area that's developed, or are you in a rural area? And obviously, you can see that from where you are, but you need to check that. Do you need to do anything to the property to improve it before you buy it? Or is everything in line with all the codes and everything else? And if it's not, you need to look into that. That's through building and safety, when you can go down and you can check on the records all the way back to when that property was built, and then look at the size of the square footage versus what it shows on the tax records and make sure it matches. And if it doesn't match, why doesn't it match? Okay? I had a house that I bought that had a fireplace, and when we did the inspection, we found out that the fireplace was built incorrectly. And the guy who bought the property, we bought the property from, was trying to do some, kind of cut some corners, and so our inspector came to us and said, look, this is what's going on, and so we need to let you know that. And so we went back to the guy who, the agent who represented the seller, and they put in a brand new fireplace for us. I think it was about a $10,000 fireplace. The other thing you want to check is septic tanks, and any kind of things having to do with sewer lines. Make sure that everything's working fine. And you can, by the way, have an inspector do all this stuff for very little money, usually a couple hundred dollars. And if you're buying a $10,000, $20,000, $30,000, $50,000, $100,000 asset, you want somebody looking at it, either a general contractor or an inspector or whatever. Check the roof. Check all the operating systems, the electricity, the electrical system, the air conditioning system, the heating system, all that stuff. The ducts, make sure that they're, you know, in good condition. And if they're not, of course, all of these things you may choose to take with, let's say the air conditioner doesn't work. You say, I'll take it without the air conditioner working. Okay. maybe you get a discount for that. I've walked into houses, and I bought a house one time that I still own. And when I bought it, there was a refrigerator in the kitchen, there was a laundry in the kitchen, and there was a, the, you know, this stuff was right there. And I said to the agent, who's now my wife, but I said to her at the time, I said, why don't we make the offer to include the refrigerator and the laundry? She goes, that normally goes out with the house. I said, just put it in the offer. All they could say is no. But as it turned out, they didn't want it, so we got a free refrigerator and a free laundry. And you can do all kinds of stuff with offers. But anyway, with regards to due diligence, the most important thing is research, research, research. Talk to people around the property. Do your research. Find out if there's a lot of crime in the neighborhood or if there's not. That's easy enough to check with the police department and just, you know, call them or go over there and say, I'm buying this house in this area. Are you guys having any issues over here? You know, anything that you would think of regarding schools, make sure that the schools around that property are close by. Because if you're not going to live there and you're going to rent it, people that you're going to rent it to are going to want to know that. They may have children, or you're going to want to know that. Is it near churches and is it near synagogues or all that kind of good stuff? Is it near bus stops? Because bus stops, of course, are how people get around a lot. Or trains, if depending on where you are in the country. Or, you know, is it near transportation? Is it near moving transportation so that people can get from point A to point B? What's the condition of the roof? Is the roof needing repair? Sometimes roofs look okay, but they're getting older and older, and they need new shingles, or they may need to be totally replaced. I bought a house, and we thought the roof was okay. It didn't look too bad. Then we did the inspection. The roof was a total train wreck, and we got a big credit for the roof because we were paying based upon the roof being in good condition. We got a big credit for the roof. We put a new roof on the house. So, and we got the cash at the close to do it from the seller. So anyway, let's see. So what else can I think of? Yeah, like have an inspector check all the running appliances, the, you know, the whatever, the washer, dryer, if it's included. You want to check all the electricity, and I mean including to the garage, anywhere on the property, the water lines, the sprinklers, if it has sprinklers, all the things you would think of that could possibly come into being. Electrical is really important because that could cause a fire. So you always want electrical to be checked out by. And you can have this all checked out by either a licensed general contractor if you know a good one, or you can have an inspector do it. There's people that's all they do all day is they inspect property there, and they do it for a living. They run around and they write reports and they give you the report, and then you show the report to the owner of the property, currently the seller. You say, these are the things I found that I'd like to have corrected, and you negotiate those things out. Sometimes you're taking the properties as is, where is, with no representations or warranties by the seller, and I mean nothing, okay? They don't fix anything. They don't credit you anything. You just take it where is, as is. But that's a fixer usually, or that's a better priced property. Maybe it's a probate or something where they don't want to do anything or fix anything other than give you a clear title. Now, title, of course, is something else you want to check into. We talked about that before when we talked about when you're dealing with property and you're looking at the condition of the title to the property, not the property itself, but the title to the property. Is the property surveyed right? Is your fence line, was your fence made so it's not over the line of your property line? Because if it's put, I've seen a situation where the fence was 3 feet off from where it's supposed to be on the property line, and it wasn't a problem for the old owner. But then I think what happened was that the guy owned the property, and then he owned the property for a long time. And the guy who was next door knew that it was wrong, but he didn't say anything to the new buyer. And the new buyer came in and said, hey, I'm not getting 3 feet that I'm entitled to on my property line. I want that fence moved. And the guy who lived next door had to move the fence so it matched the property line. Things like that, things having to do with, you know, making sure that all of your liens are taken care of. There's no judgments on the property. This is all title stuff. And you'll have escrow and title to help you through this, and lawyers, if you're doing a lawyer's closing rather than an escrow closing. But an escrow officer or an attorney who's ever doing the closing can go through a title report with you. And again, you may take the property with certain things on the title. Maybe there's a building and safety thing on the title that says, hey, you know, you have to fix this and this before you can live here. And you decide if you're going to willing to do that or if you want that fixed before you buy it. But there's a lot of physical things that you need to check into. And more than as much as physical things, you need to check what's going on around the asset. Make sure you're not like, I bought the first property I ever bought. Okay, the very first property I ever bought, because I didn't know any of this stuff. I bought, and it didn't have residential zoning, and it was a residential property. It was on a commercial lot, and I didn't know that. So when I went to sell it, I found out really quickly how hard it was to sell that house. We did sell it eventually. It was hard to get financing on because it was not on a residential lot. Everything on that street was not on a residential lot, I guess. But it was also on the pathway to the Los Angeles International Airport, and I mean close by. So, I mean, you could literally wave to the people in the plane above you. You could see the bottom of the plane very clearly, you know, so because it was so close. It was like at about 2 minutes away from where they land. And when the planes are floating over, you know, that's pretty close. And if you're on the path of a runway and for some reason something falls off that plane, it's not far to hit the ground. And, you know, if you're right there, it's going to cause all kinds of damage and maybe much more, you know. So you have to be aware of if you're not on a runway or if you are, and also what the plans are, what's in process. If there's no airport, what if they're planning an airport? You know, these are things I think you need to know. So when you're dealing with residential property, these are all the important things. It, you know, you don't really have books and records. We'll get into that in a minute because it's commercial property. You just have to look at the property. You have to check everything about the property. Again, sometimes you're buying it without these things, but let's assume you're making sure you do all these inspections. You're making sure that and then you're buying it with the inspections being done and such like that. You want to make sure you look at what's going on around the property, the Megan's Law thing we talked about. Anything else having to do with anything that might affect the value of that property? What's the crime in the neighborhood like? Is it in a stable neighborhood? Is it quiet at night? Maybe you live next. Maybe it turns out the house is two houses away from a family where the kids got a rock and roll band and they play until 4 a.m. I mean, I'm just being facetious, but it could happen, I guess. You know, and you know, so you want to know these things. Now, obviously, everything you can't know, but, you know, you just want to know as much as you can. You know, are there any people that are around you that have lots of dogs or lots of different kinds of animals that might be noisy and cause the other property where you're buying to be not of quiet enjoyment, as they call it, quiet enjoyment. So you want to find out what they're planning to do with the streets. Are there any major potholes in the streets that they're going to fix or are they not going to fix? You can check that again with the building department and with the streets and the transportation guys. If you're buying a property that's not on a street, we had a conversation one time with Thomas Mattingly, who's a real estate investor, and he was told he had to put in sidewalks. And that was going to cost him $25,000. It ended up costing him, I think, $1,000 to settle it. But the point is, are you going to be asked to do anything that you don't know about, that's not being told to you by the owner? Because the owner may not know. So it may not be their responsibility. Maybe they've owned the house for a long time and they never cared and they never checked. Maybe they inherited it. Who knew? But who knows? But whatever it is, you have to do that research. Okay, so that's kind of on single family. Now let's talk about commercial. Everything that we just talked about also pertains to commercial. However, with commercial, you also have to look at the records of the property. That's the financial statements, what's called books and records. Inspection of books and records. You look at all the books. If the guy tells you he's collecting $500 a month rent from each of 10 units, you look at the rent roll. You make sure that it matches. The rent roll is basically the list of all the tenants. It's a roll of all the tenants. And you look at, are they, if they tell you that all the people are on month to month, you look at that. You look at the rental contracts. You look at everything and anything that you can that will tell you about every tenant in that property. Is anyone planning a bankruptcy? Are they all in making their payments? If they're not, how far behind are they? Do you expect any vacancy issues? you know, are there any property, are there any units that are vacant now that you were told were not vacant? I mean, there's all kinds of things people do, you know, to try and pump up the value of their property. Are the expenses stated properly? Did they tell you they set the water bills $200 a month? Is the water bill $200 a month? Pull the water bills. You know, look at everything and anything. It's sort of like I used to be a production accountant and an auditor, and we used to look at everything. We would go back into the records, we would open them up, and we would not only look at what was on the books, but we would actually pull the bills and make sure the bills match the books as to how much the bill was for. Like if the guy said to me, well, I'm paying $300 a month for insurance, I'd say, well, show me the insurance premium slips. You know, and then sometimes they even go as far as calling the insurance company and confirm that's how much the insurance policy is for. Because people just make stuff up and they just do things that they shouldn't do. So in addition to all the physical things you need to check, when you buy a commercial property, you need to also check structurally. Same thing with residential. Check everything on the structure, especially if you're in an earthquake zone. Does it have any cracks or does stuff like that? If you're in a flood zone, make sure you're not in a floodplain where it's going to be possible you're going to have a flood in the property. And if you do, make sure you have flood insurance and all those kind of good things. So these are things you have to check. And if you are working with a seller and the seller doesn't want to provide you with any of this stuff, there's a reason. If they say, well, I don't know where those records are, I don't keep records on all my expenses and my accountant does all that, then call the accountant. You know, do whatever you have to do so you're making a sound investment or you're helping somebody else make a sound investment, especially if you're representing other people. You have to make sure that you're checking everything because you're helping them get better return on their money or get a good return on their money, and they're trusting you to do that research. Now, of course, you're not expected to know all this right away, but you can call like management companies that can recommend people to you for residential and for commercial property to help you find people that can check anything and everything that you need to. You can talk to the management company and ask them, am I covering everything I need to cover? Because if you're going to continue to run that property and it's got like 10 units in it, maybe you don't want to run it yourself and you want a property manager, so they're going to do everything they can to help you, so that they can get that property management account from you once you take title to the property. So property managers can be a great, great source. And actually, we should probably have a property manager on the show as a guest, because it's a very important part of running and owning real estate. So the bottom line is you have got to check everything, everything and anything you can think of. Don't let anybody tell you that you can't have what you're looking for. If you say, look, you know, you're saying you bought your water heater 5 years ago. Do you have a receipt for the water heater? Oh, I don't have that receipt. Well, then how do you know they bought it 5 years ago? Maybe they bought it 15 years ago or 20 years ago. Sometimes you can actually go right to the water heater and look for the serial number, call the company that made it, and ask them when it was produced. And then you figure, okay, well, it was produced in 2007 and 2012, and then maybe they sold it in 2008. You know at least it's no more than 5 years old. It might be 3 years old, you know, in terms of being on the property. Maybe it's sat in a warehouse for 2 years, but at least it's no more than 5 years since it was produced and made. You know, if you find out, well, no, this was made 20 years ago, and the owner says, oh, here, I have a receipt that I've from 10 years ago, and it's some handwritten receipt. You know, who knows if it's, you know, real. So you got to check this stuff. And I don't mean to freak anybody out as to what you have to do when you're buying property, but it is a big investment, and you do want to make sure you don't miss any. And, you know, you cover all your bases and cross all your T's and dot all your I's. We talk a lot about due diligence all the time in real estate. Constantly, constantly, constantly we're talking about research. Look into this. Check this. Look into that. Read these numbers. You know, because real estate is an investment. You're dealing with something that's dealing with income and expenses. And so consequently, you need to know how to analyze those income and expenses. And when you're doing it, when you're buying properties and such like that, and you're looking at a lot of assets, you could probably just do it real quickly. But once you make you have an accepted offer, and you're now at the point where you're going to really do that due diligence, if you're not planning to resell that property immediately and not ever touch it and just give it to the next guy and let them do everything, where you can pass all the responsibilities to the next guy, which I've done, as well as fixed up properties, which I've done, then, you know, you don't have to do it as much because you've got somebody else doing it for you. But if you are planning to keep it, then you definitely need to do these kind of things. The roof can be a very expensive proposition if you don't check it right, especially a commercial property. You buy a 10-unit apartment building, it's going to cost you a lot more for a roof than it is for a single-family home, okay? So you have to check all these things. You need to check, like, if you buy a property and it has multiple tenants, are there any tenants that are causing any other tenants not to have quiet enjoyment? You know, is there somebody who's, you know, up at 4 in the morning and their television... excuse me, the television is really loud and it's bothering people, and the old owner's not going to tell you that because he doesn't want you to know, but you may be able to find that out by talking to some of the tenants. Now, sometimes they won't let you talk to the tenants until you have ownership, but sometimes they will, and the only way you'll find out is to ask. Always look around the property, see if anything's around the property that you think shouldn't be there, you know, or should be there. If you have large trees around the property, make sure they're not encroaching on the physical structure that's going to eventually have a problem with the property and cause the property to potentially have a problem later where you've got to pull the tree or kill the tree. You know, I mean, we have one property that has a big oak tree in the front yard, and I'm constantly concerned about what it's doing. We have another property where it was actually causing the cement to go up a little bit around the pool, But it was from the neighbor's tree, and eventually that neighbor removed that tree, I think is what they did. Either that or they just killed the tree or turned it to a stump, so it wasn't a problem any further. But I was concerned that it was going to be continuing a problem to the point where I was going to go talk to the neighbor. Well, that didn't end up being an issue. If you're buying a property with a pool, you want to make sure it doesn't have any cracks in it because that can be very expensive to fix. You know, anyway. All these things are really important. Research everything, okay? Research during when you're making purchases, research after you make purchases, because once you close that escrow and you buy that asset, that's what you bought. You bought what you agreed to buy. So you have to do all your research. It's the same thing like when you're buying a used car. If you're not buying a brand new car, you have a lot more to look at than if you're buying a new car. Now, if you're buying a new house, of course, you don't have a lot of the same issues, but certainly with construction and stuff. But you still might want to check some things just to make sure that the contractor did it right. At the end of the day, all we're really saying is always check everything, okay? Especially if you're buying something that's not brand new, okay? Because you want to make sure that you know how old is the house. Is there any problems with it selling? And, you know, all these different things that go along with due diligence, the neighborhood, the transportation, anything you would think of that would be important to you is going to be important to somebody else. And there may be a whole lot of things that are not important to you that are important to somebody else. So I hope that's helpful. It's been a great week with everybody. We have about 30 seconds left. If you need to reach us, we've given all of our names and phone numbers and all that kind of stuff. We're going to have some great guests coming up. We're really excited about how the show's developing. A lot of you guys are starting to call in and bring us deals. Please tell everybody you know about the show. Let them all listen. Let them all learn. This is all about helping everybody make more money, whether it's with us or without us. We hope to be involved, but if we're not, just let us close. That's fine. Anyway, have a great day. Enjoy your weekend. We'll be back with you Monday morning. And we've really had a wonderful time with you. And thanks again for listening. Bye-bye.